Up on the right side, Nylander breaking in on the wing. Score! Holy mackinaw, Wee Willie snaps it home, and the Leafs have a 2-1 lead.
Clutch goal for us. That's what you need. You know, when you get a chance like that with one of your best players, you're obviously expecting him to be able to capitalize. He did just that.
Oh, he's so good and made a great play, and he's a great player. So if he does that, you know, it's great to see.
Just happened. It's just what happened out there. I didn't really plan on doing anything. I just let the way it unfolded.
Welcome to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia Tesheri from Bar Down. Got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano from Overdrive with me as well. Those were clips from the Leafs home opener last night. Good night for the Leafs. But before we get to that, AB, Brady Tkachuk signed on the day that the Leafs are set to take on the Sens in Ottawa.
Yes, big breaking news just coming out. Bruce Garriott with the scoop on that one. But 7 years, $57.5 million, an AAV of $8.2 million. He's not expected to play tonight. Obviously, the Leafs are in Ottawa. They're not going to have to worry about, you know, mixing it up with Brady Tkachuk, who is always a thorn in the side. But it is a good sign for the Ottawa Senators to get their star locked up long term.
Definitely a good sign. That long term aspect to it is a good point as well. We'll have TSN analyst Craig Button on in a couple moments to talk about it. Before we get to that, though, AB, let's talk about the home opener. What was your home opener vibe check? How'd you feel off the top?
I mean, I felt good about the fact that the team won, right?
Yeah,
they got the win.
That's always a good,
Nylander, I was high on him going into the game. He clearly was the superstar, the stud last night for the team. Got the winner on a great goal. But you were actually in the building. And that's, I think, where we need to start. Like, it was the first time that we had a packed house in like 20 months. March 10th, 2020 was the last time we had that. Like, what was your vibe being live in the Scotiabank Arena?
So, there's a lot. So, all the players were really positive about it, right? Like, Jack Campbell went out of his way to thank fans for just how engaged they are. You don't see that very often from players. Keith was saying it as well. So, and Mark Masters after the game said it too. I'll be honest in saying, I wasn't a sellout crowd last night. It was close to a sellout crowd. I didn't think it was super loud. Like, I was a little bit underwhelmed, the top. But the Leafs came out flat, too, right?
They did. But, like, I texted you literally during the warm-ups or during the intros, and I'm like, it doesn't sound like it's live in there. Is this just the broadcast, is it actually just, like, not happening right now? And you're like, no, it's actually, like, rather dull. I'm a little underwhelmed. So, It's weird because it was the first home game in so long that people could go, and everyone was saying, like during the pandemic when there was no fans at all, everyone's like, I would give anything just to be in that building and cheer and root for the Maple Leafs. And then here's your chance.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, fell flat.
Listen,
to expectations.
I'm not going
to
knock, like, I get it, because if I looked around me I was way up top in the press box, and the 300s are always bumping. Like, people are always having fun in the 300s. Once you get into suit territory, I think that's where things got a little bit lame. And there was some definitely, like, there was no empty seats in the 300s. Down in the 200, 100 level, there was a lot. Not a lot, but, like, I was able to pick them out from up top, and there was quite a few.
Yeah, well, a lot of things changed through the pandemic. That's not being one of them, apparently.
Not the suits at Scotiabank. No. They'll be there forever.
No, but, you know, Nylander, it looks like he's picking up right where he left off last year. Like, his goal last night, the game winner, was outstanding. And, like, Steph was mentioning today, she was like, that was, like, very Spezza-esque. Went in off the rush, faked the shot, got the goaltender to bite down a little bit, and then he just kind of roofed it right over his shoulder. Beautifully placed shot. And that's one on the way to 40, which was my prediction, which is nice. But,
I liked the emotion from him, too.
It was.
Like, he was just engaged, really engaged. I know that being mad isn't necessarily a good thing, but you love to see it from a guy like Willie Nylander to show a little, like, yelling at the ref, getting mad when he misses the net. Just that emotion. You know who else was mad last night? And Mark Masters wrote an article about it recently, so maybe I was just watching it. Jake Muzzin looks angry. Like, he wants to do big things this year.
Yeah, I mean, Muzzin's, he's just such a grizzled vet. Like, that guy's just out there, and he's ready to just, like, knock some guy's head off, it seems like, when he's out on the ice. But emotion was something that somewhat lacked the game in general. Like, it wasn't until the third period, really, where we started to see some skirmishes in front of the net where Gallagher got in there and then Bunting, too.
Yeah.
And then you started to kind of get some face washes and you saw the animosity really build up. But I think, like, even going into it last night, we were saying, is there going to be some bad blood boiled over? Like, the Maple Leafs got embarrassed by Montreal last year in the playoffs. They're going to want to make a statement here in front of their home fans, the first packed barn since, you know, like we said, March of 2020, and it just didn't really happen. It kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop, to be honest.
Yeah, but I'll say the same thing. I didn't mention this when I was talking about the building being a little bit quiet. When Marner got that kind of soft call, the 5-on-3 happened, I feel like the team got engaged then, and the fans also got engaged then, because they got really, really loud at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, Jack Campbell, too, keeping the team in this one early on. It could have been 3-0 early in that game, but Jack Campbell, he was phenomenal last night, too, for the Buds. I had to make sure. We sat here and we kind of discussed some of the negatives, but like Willie, Jack Campbell, that third line, we'll discuss a lot of this over the next couple of minutes. But Jack, to me, really was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah. Craig Button, who we've got on the line right now, also said that Jack Campbell, I was watching you on SportsCenter last night, Craig, and I was listening to you talk up Jack Campbell and his confidence. First of all, how's it going? How have you been enjoying the first couple days of the hockey season?
Well, it's a fun time, and you know, the season begins, and with it comes a lot of hopes, and you know, and you just showed your fandom, and that's good. It is Leafs lunch. You just showed your fandom, and like all fans, they look at their team through their own lens, and you know, that soft call on Mitch Marner. I was just looking at the rule book, and
you didn't think it was soft.
Hard calls are soft. It was a trip.
Okay.
I only see tripping in the rule book, Julie. I don't see soft tripping, hard tripping. I guess maybe we should table on a soft trip, it should only be a 1 minute penalty.
You know, that's even, if you even went 1:30, if it was a soft one, that'd be good.
Bring that up in the meetings in Boca later this year. Craig, we had some breaking news actually break just before the show went to air. Brady Tkachuk, 7 years, $8.2 million AAV. What are your thoughts on the deal here?
Well, I mean, one of the things for me, and, you know, great to be with you. You know, it's really hard for me. So it's easy for me to say Julia. I don't have to say Julia's sister. But Al's brother, it's hard for me to, like, how are you Al's brother? You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to call you AB. How's that?
That works.
Here's how we go. So, I mean, you look at the contract for Brady Tkachuk, the parameters for a short-term deal, the parameters for a long-term deal, were all there. Whether you want to look at Kirill Kaprizov on a 5-year deal, you know, you can look at Elias Pettersson on a 3-year deal. You can look at a longer term deal like Suzuki just signed. I mean, they were all there. So it was about the two parties understanding, okay, this is what's really important to us. And for the Ottawa Senators, it was about a longer term deal. And I don't think there's any question that Brady wanted a shorter term deal. But you know, when you start to try to understand, okay, here's what we're trying to do, and this is where the negotiation isn't just about dollars. The negotiation is about, here's where you fit, here's why we believe in you, here's what we're trying to build, you're a big part of it, here's why we want you on a longer term deal. And it becomes sort of a like you're not just trying to negotiate on the dollars, you're also trying to show the player and convince the player, hey, this is why we want you on this term. They found that commonplace. And he's the captain of the team. He doesn't wear the C yet, but he is the captain. You don't have to wear the C to be the captain. And he is the captain. And now for the Ottawa Senators, you know, with a real good stable of young players, really good young players, and Brady is certainly one of them, and you know, one of the leading guys in that regard. You know, this is it's important too, because now there's no distraction. The other players don't have to be asked about it every day. What do you think about Brady? What do you think about Brady? And now they can get on to business. But yeah, something that, to me, like I said, parameters were in place, short term, long term, monetarily, it was all there. And now we don't have anything to talk about. So we're going to go to Boca, the three of us, and we're going to pitch ideas for reduced penalty time for soft penalties.
Nice. I have lots of ideas like that. I can write them all down. You can bring them there. All right, we'll shift to the Leafs
now. You're coming, Julia, to present.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I'll put together like a PowerPoint or something.
Yeah, sounds good.
Craig, I was saying I heard you talking to Jen Hedger last night on SC about Jack Campbell and his performance last night. Leafs came out a little bit slow, and Jack Campbell held it down for them in the first part of that first period. How important was that performance for him? He really seemed confident between the pipes there.
Yeah, well, and you know, I tick out that word confidence, yeah. Right? Like, when Jack Campbell, you know, went through a period of years where, you know, he was this promising young goaltender that became the goalie that never reached his promise. And, you know, he moves around, he comes into Toronto, and now he finds his way into a role, and an important role, and under a microscope that can magnify everything, significantly. So when you look at what he did last year, you know, he starts to build confidence in his own game. And to that extension, the players around him start to have confidence in his game.
Yeah.
You know, the fan base, you know, we can look at the number of games he's played, and people can say, well, you know, can he do it? I mean, the same questions going into the playoffs seem to be similar questions that we're hearing now. All I can do is go by what I see. And what I see in Jack Campbell is an incredibly competent goaltender. He's athletic. He's technically good. He reads the play very well. And to me, he's just building his game. And, you know, Dallas Stars wish it happened when he was much younger. L.A. Kings probably wished it had happened. But, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, and in this case with Jack Campbell. But when you're a goaltender in the net and you have the confidence to play well and you're not skittish, the players have confidence, and they can play, and they can play just a little more freer. And I think that's what Jack provides them. And, you know, and there's going to be nights when your team isn't going to be as sharp as you want it to be, and you don't want to start the game like that, Julia. But they did last night, and Jack, was stellar in allowing the Leafs to get their game going and ultimately find a way to win.
That's Craig Button on the phone, Julia Tesheri here, and Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, on Leafs Lunch. Yeah, you could just see Jack Campbell looked really good last night. The way he was tracking the puck with his head was really evident. So everyone was kind of under the assumption, Peter Mrazek's going to start tonight against the Sens. Everyone was under the assumption that this was going to be a true tandem situation. Do you see one of these guys pulling ahead, Campbell specifically, and kind of establishing themselves as the true number one?
Well, I mean, so here's one of the things that we can deal with. You know, I'll say it's fact. Neither one of these goaltenders has clearly established themselves as the number one goaltender.
Yeah.
I can stand here and I can, I can talk with Jen or make commentary that I think he's the number one goaltender. That's my opinion. I believe that he is, but somebody else may think that Peter Mrazek is. I think that when we look at the NHL and we look at tandems, and I think there's no question that the tandem is something that's really important for NHL teams. So if we look at Boston, and they had Tuukka Rask, there was no question who the number one goaltender is. But Yaroslav Halak was incredibly important to the success of not only the Bruins, but also helping Tuukka be at his best. So, you know, I believe that Jack is the number one, but does that mean he's got to play 60 games? No. I mean, if he plays 45 and Peter plays 35, or it's 48 and 32 or whatever the configuration is, I think when you have a really good tandem and both goaltenders get into the net and give your team a chance to win, that's the positive thing here. And, you know, certainly through their play, it'll become established, you know, who might be the go-to guy in a more important game. And one of the things the Leafs struggled with after Curtis McElhinney was picked up on waivers is they got zero productivity out of their backup goaltender. So Freddie Anderson not only was the guy that was solely responsible for winning and success, you know, if he wasn't in, and then you're taxing him, you've got to play him more, and maybe that contributed to more injuries. Who knows? I can't comment on that with respect to the physiology and that. But,
right.
You know, when you're going into a game and you go, this guy hasn't won a game for us ever. Like, how do you think the players are feeling? You think they're going, yeah, tonight's the night?
That's true.
No, they aren't. They're not going in there going, tonight's the night. They're going, just stop the thing and don't hurt it.
Yeah.
And the Leafs aren't in that spot right now. And I think that's how I look at it, and I think that's what's most important right now.
In conversation with TSN's Craig Button. Craig, Willie Nylander, outstanding last night. You said on SC that you expect for him to become an elite goal scorer this season. What things specifically is he doing differently now that's allowed him to take this next step in his game?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, too, you need elite skill to become an elite goal scorer. So, number one, I think we all can agree, I hope we can all agree, that William Nylander has elite skill. So, now we saw him score 31 goals a couple of years ago, which is significant, and I think it's a signal and a sign that he can be an elite goal scorer. And then you don't score as much, and now you question yourself. The playoffs are a barometer for players and their own barometer for how successful can I be. The goals are harder to come by. The defending is a lot harder and a lot more fierce. You got to get into the inner slot. You got to get inside the circles and the dots to attack the net and get into those areas. So William Nylander last year in the playoffs was the Toronto Maple Leafs' most prolific offensive player, the most dangerous, and he had 5 goals. And I think that by being able to play under those circumstances and have success under those circumstances, we talk about confidence. It's one thing to think you can be an elite goal scorer. You now move into another category where you know you can be an elite goal scorer. That's what I see with William Nylander now. And again, he's always had the elite skill. Now he's got the experience and the success under really difficult and challenging times to say, I know I can do it. And when you think about that shot last night, he's coming down that wing. He's got his head up, and he just gives a little bit of a back on his stick. He just gives a little bit of a short back up, and that's when Jake Allen went down, and then he gets right up and snaps it up there. He totally exposed Jake Allen. He got Jake Allen to commit and go down, and then he took full advantage of him. And I think that when you start to look at it in that regard, those are the things that you're building in your game to become an elite player, an elite goal scorer. And I think with William, it's great to have 31 goals on the resume. Last year in the playoffs, I think, allows him now to know that he can become that elite goal scorer. And quite frankly, it allows me to make a statement that, yeah, I think he'll be an elite goal scorer.
Hey, I'm with you, Craig. I'm with you. Yesterday we did a bold predictions, and I said, will he score in 40 this year? The way that he came off of last season, the way he played in the playoffs, and then yesterday after watching him, clearly the best Leafs forward out there. Looks like a man on a mission. I feel pretty good about that prediction.
Just for the record, I also called that prediction kind of soft, too.
Well,
40 goals isn't soft, Craig. How's 40 goals soft?
But I think he's going to do it. It just kind of feels like he should do it. Anyways, go ahead.
Well, I just think that, like, another standout from last night's game was that third line. Arguably was the best full line at 5-on-5 last night. Did you see things from them that make you think that that type of success will be sustainable? And how key would that be for Toronto to have that type of depth lower down the lineup?
Well, it's going to be incredibly important. And, you know, one of the things we have to keep in mind is that Ilya Mikheyev is out for 8 weeks at least, right? So, you know, where does he fit into that depth area? I mean, for me, when I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, and I said this, and I will continue, I have no concerns, I have no worries about those four forwards. You know, we all know what their names are. They're household names. There's no secrets there. Their top four defense I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable with Jack Campbell. To me, a real determining part of their success over the course of the season and into the playoffs and wherever that is going to be how much contribution and how much productivity they get down the lineup and deeper into the lineup. And productivity doesn't have to be goals. It doesn't have to be points. But how are you going to play at 5-on-5, as you point out, AB? And how are you going to back up the other team? And how are you going to keep the play in the other team's zone instead of our zone? And all those things that are important. How do you make an opponent uncomfortable? How do you forecheck? How do you wear down a team? I think those are the things that I'm watching for with the Toronto Maple Leafs over the course of time. They got a lot of new players. They got a lot of new players in the lineup. And, you know, it's going to be different than some of the players they had last year. But if you look at last night and you start to look at signs of what could be, I think there's every reason for there to be positive. but it's one game. And, you know, I think that that's something that I will be watching very closely for each and every game and over the course of time.
Which of the new players really impressed you last night, whether it was, you know, Kampf or Bunting, Richie, Kasha? Which of those new guys really impressed you?
Gee, well, I think Andre Kasha is a very talented player. He's a very skilled player. You know, listen, you get to play in a spot behind Mitch Marner and William Nylander. And, you know, he had some good scoring chances. He had some good opportunities to score. You know, he's been plagued by injuries. And there's no question in my mind that Andre has offensive ability. And he can contribute offensively from that part of your lineup. So what I would say is that he was the guy that, to me, kind of just was a notch above everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he can score and continue on that path and remain healthy, I think he can be a real good addition. When he was in Anaheim, I thought he was a real good player. When the Boston Bruins traded for him, I thought that was such an important trade because they had Pastrnak and they didn't have a skilled player on that line with Krejci and on the right side. And he just wasn't able to get his footing because of the injuries. And now he's in Toronto. And again, you know, maybe the same demands on him that were placed in Anaheim or Boston won't be here because you got Marner and Nylander. But it's a real opportunity. But he was a guy that was impressed. One other guy I got to tell you that I was really impressed with last night and continue to be impressed with because, quite frankly, I didn't see him as an NHL player, but he kept progressing and he kept getting better and everything, and that's Justin Hall. Justin Hall continues to take his game higher. And it's not by leaps and bounds. It's more like, here's what I am, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be really good at that. And to me, you know, he impressed me again. And, you know, it's a good sign. We talk about Jack Campbell taking a little bit of time to get to the NHL and being that guy. Justin Hall is a similar path, but a really good player. And, you know what, why don't we start now? How about if we start this, Julia and AB? Justin Hall isn't signed past this season.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What? Would he not be a very, very desirable player, right shot defenseman as a free agent?
Absolutely.
Talk is all Morgan Riley, but that's a really good point.
Well, yeah, you even look at this offseason, the fact, like, protecting Justin Hall over guys like Jared McCann was a newcomer and Kerfoot. Mm-hmm. Like, they specifically protected Justin Hall, and a reasoning for that, and Kyle Dubas said, was because he knows what the market's going to be like for a big, defensively driven top four defenseman who can eat minutes, and that's exactly what Justin Hall is.
He is. You've nailed it. I mean, I totally concur with your assessment of him. And again, like, teams, you know, when you're looking at trying to get players to come in, look at what Chris Tanev signed for.
Yep.
You know, as a free agent, leaving Vancouver to go to Calgary. Look at what Tucker Poolman signed, leaving Winnipeg to go to Vancouver. Right? Like there will be a significant market for Justin Hall. So we know there's going to be one for Morgan Riley. But let's start the Justin Hall free agent talk. Why not?
Yeah, might as well. One last one, Craig, for you. Jonathan Drouin gets that opening goal for the Canadiens. How nice is that to see?
Well, it's wonderful to see.
Yeah.
That. I mean, I know Joe. I've known Joe a long time. And I think, you know, when we look at, you know, what his struggles were, you know, number one, to say, hey, I need to step away. Number two, to really be around and get, you know, the from professionals, areas in which he can deal with this. I mean, you know, when you have a knee injury, you go to an orthopedic surgeon, you go to get physiotherapy, and they help you get your knee right.
Yep.
And in this case with Jonathan, you know, the anxiety that led to the insomnia and not having any enjoyment, right? You know, there's great professionals that can help you in that regard. And it's every bit as important as having a healthy knee.
Definitely.
So, you know, when Jonathan, you know, had to take the lead, he doesn't want to leave, but he also knows that I have to do this because, you know, to be able to play and have fun, I need to be healthy. And when he talked about going back on the ice in the summer and his off-season training, he said he hadn't felt like this in a while, and he was having fun again. And so for him to start the year like he did and see that joy and for him to talk about that joy, I think it's just another example of, when we talk about mental health, it's every bit as important as physical health. And you know what? There's people that can help you, find the right place for you to deal with whatever you're dealing with. And that's not just for hockey players. That's for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, Craig. Well said. And we'll end on that note. Craig, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll chat with you again next week.
Okay. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, AB.
Thanks, Craig.
All right. There he goes. Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst. The nicest man in the world. I love Craig.
Truly the best.
I love him so much. Coming up next, another beauty in the hockey world, Mark Mathot. We'll check in with him as the Leafs are in Ottawa taking on the Sens tonight. I'm Al's brother, she's Julia Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. I got my peaches out in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. I get my weed from California. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julie Teixeira from Bar Down. Got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with us. And Leafs Lunch is brought to you in part by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease ASAP. Over 2,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to LeaseBusters.com. Justin Bieber is still serenading us.
So I actually Bar Down put down a video yesterday. And it was hilarious. Go check it out. But it was like getting to know your teammates, like throwing your teammate. What was it? Throwing him under the bus or throwing shade at him? Anyways, they asked him a bunch of questions. It was done at media day. Exposing them.
Maybe.
It was done at media day. And one of the questions was like, who's most likely to do a feature with Justin Bieber? And overwhelmingly, obviously, it's like, okay, well, Matthews is obviously the real choice, but. Do you think, like, this is possible? And he even came out and was like, I probably wouldn't do a duet because, you know, I don't got the chops that he has. And he goes, I might do a rap type of thing. You know what I mean? And could you imagine hearing Big Poppy going out there, Big Tony, and just throwing down, like, a track with Justin Bieber? That'd be hilarious.
John Tavares is so hilarious. I feel like he's, like, the team dad, aside from Spezza and stuff. But he's just kind of out of the loop on all the social stuff. And he was like, has he done that already? I'm not sure if he has. Like you could have convinced JT that Austin Matthews was already on a Bieber track.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got former NHLer, co-host of the Wally and Mathot show on the line right now. Mark Mathot, the Leafs play the Senators tonight, so a lot to pack here, to unpack here. Are you excited for the home opener for the Sens?
I am, Julia, and thank you for having me on today. I'm pumped.
Yeah, so obviously the breaking news in Ottawa Senators land, Brady Tkachuk locked up for 7 years. He's not expected to play tonight, but how important was it for the Sens to lock him up long term?
The obvious answer is this is huge.
Yeah.
And coming on today, like this news just broke. Right?
Yeah. So
all I could think was, okay, they're going to ask me about Brady, and I have nothing new or anything to contribute of any value whatsoever. But no, this is huge, and the city here is buzzing. Obviously, on the scale compared to Toronto, isn't really comparable. But in Sens land, in Ottawa right now, people are incredibly happy. I think what he brings to this community is huge. And I know a lot of people are going to start analyzing the deal, right? We're going to start looking at the numbers. It's 7 years, 57.5, AAV of 8.2. So some people are already trying to analyze it, and they're saying, well, you know, it's a slight overpay. But the way I look at it, it's pretty simple. This player, like to me, first of all, it's fine. But this player brings people into the building. And not only that,
definitely.
He's such an exciting player. He gets them out of their seats. He does everything. So, you know, to overpay slightly your potential captain moving forward, I can only assume they're going to be anointing him captain here at some point over the next little while. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a huge signing. And you got to give credit to general manager Pierre Dorion for getting it done. He was starting to get a little bit of criticism. I know the organization was starting to face a little bit of criticism, but finally, in the end, it's good news all around, and the fan base is incredibly happy about it.
Well, Mark, like, how long do you think it'll take for him to get up to speed and get ready? Not expected to play tonight, so, like, how long typically does it take, like, players such as yourself to get going for in-season action?
Yeah, it's a good question. We had this discussion a couple days ago, and we're trying to analyze, potentially assuming he does sign here right before the first game. We did not think it would happen on game day. I would have liked to have happened over Thanksgiving weekend, but in any case, it takes time. And that's a situation where it certainly is subjective. Everyone's got a different opinion on it. But from my experiences playing, I mean, if you miss an entire training camp, boy, you're behind the eight ball. Like, you just are. And that's going to take you at least, I want to say, several weeks of, like, hard conditioning, getting in reps with your line mates, getting into practice, and getting in a game-like situations with all the systems work that they have to do. I mean, he missed everything. He missed fitness testing. He missed the medicals, the physicals, you name it. Like, all that stuff is very important. So, again, it's going to take a while, and I think as a fan base, as a whole here, people are going to have to be a little bit patient because you can't just throw him into the fire. He can potentially get injured.
Yeah.
A lot of different things can happen. All kinds of variables are going to be coming his way now. So I'm sure he's hungry to get back in there, but it's got to be done the proper way.
Former NHLer Mark Bethant on the phone right now. Leaf sends tonight on TSN4, Mark. Before we get into tonight's game, we were looking at your Twitter. You got a really strong Twitter game, by the way. I saw you punch a mascot today. Really good stuff. How awkward are player intros? Like, you tweeted about them last night, and I was at the Leafs game last night watching the awkwardness unfold. Totally taking note of who is getting more cheers than everybody else. Like, how awkward is that for a player? Is that the worst part of opening night?
It is, and some people misinterpreted my tweet with regards to, they just assumed I associated it with like every other game where you know, you have a quick five-man announcement followed by an anthem, but I was referring to game night, as you guys just discussed here, with opening night.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it so, it's so long and drawn out, and you have, player by player, and it's kind of awkward, and not every player gets the same applause. And you almost feel bad for the fans because they're forced to stand up and clap. Like, you get the token clap for each player.
It's long. You're cramping by the end of it.
And as a former player, and you guys have watched enough, I'm sure, as well, that you just kind of, it's almost kind of cringy when you're watching it from the TV.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, like, okay, we know who the players are. I get it. And then from a player's point of view, your legs are cramped up. Like, you're there's so much standing around that when the puck drops, you're like, oh, boy, like, I got to find my legs now for the first 10 minutes. And you saw that with the Maple Leafs in the game. I thought they came out really slow, and not to get into a huge analysis of the game, because, of course, they won, and that's all that matters. But they came out really sloppy. And I'm not saying that's attributed to the theatrics pregame, but that definitely has a play in it.
Well, coming into tonight, Leafs Sens, obviously it's going to be a big game for Ottawa since they're awaiting the Leafs coming in. It's their home opener, and Leafs fans know, like, never do underestimate the Sens. They always seem to come ready to play the Leafs. What is it about Ottawa that consistently gives Toronto fits?
That's a tough one, because I feel like Toronto's light years ahead right now as far as where they're at, with their development, and they're obviously in a win-now mode. So to assume that Ottawa's going to take this game, even I predicted it earlier this morning. We're going to have a segment coming out later where I'm predicting Ottawa to win, but I only because, and I don't want anyone to get mad at me over there listening.
I'm only
saying this because Toronto's on their back-to-back. From my personal experience, if you're playing 20 plus minutes a night and, you know, on the first game, and then you're flying to another city overnight, your legs feel that the next day. It's fatigue is a real thing. Now, having said that, I like how Sheldon Keefe managed his lines yesterday. I watched the whole game. I paid attention to the time on ice. I think there was only one guy. I don't even have it in front of me right now. I'm not that organized. But there was only one player, I believe, over 21 minutes played. And I think it was like Muzzin or one of the defensemen.
Riley played like 23. Outside of that, everyone else played 20 minutes.
Yeah. So having said that, I mean, I think they're going to be relatively well-rested. And no Austin Matthews, but that's an opportunity. We saw yesterday a player like Nylander. There's always guys that are willing to step up, and they did just that. So, again, they're in a really good position. I have them doing pretty well this year. I really do think that they've got a good team, and there's a lot to learn off and build off of from last season and the disappointment that followed. And I guess everyone's just kind of wanting to fast forward to April now and see how they do in the postseason. But as we've heard all the other insiders mention, it's a long road to get there, and you have to get there by winning games. So, you know, the pressure's on them for sure. There's no question. They can downplay it as much as they'd like, but I think we all know the truth. There's a lot of pressure on this Leafs team right now, and I have them coming second behind Tampa right now out of this conference, and or at least out of the Atlantic. And they have a really good opportunity, and if barring everyone stays healthy, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with what they can do this year.
Nice. A little bit of optimism there. Mark Bethant on the phone on Leafs Lunch. I'm Julia Cesari. We've got Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with us too. Mark, do you think, I know they're a younger team, and you just said the Leafs are a little bit light years ahead, but do you think there's a chance that maybe people are taking the Sens a little bit too lightly? Like, they had a really bad start to last year, which I'm sure anyone in that locker room would say. Matt Murray looked bad to start, but then that stretch at the end, Murray looked good, the team looked good. Do you think there's a chance that maybe people aren't giving the Sens enough cred here?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to it. It's not just as it's not clear as day, and it's not black or white, right? I think in this case, there's a lot to look forward to, I suppose, if you want to put it that way, over the next couple of years. But they're still behind a little bit. They're still pretty thin on that back end. They're waiting for another big prospect in Jake Sanderson to come up. They've got Jacob Bernard Docker, another defenseman who played at the World Championships for Canada. He's not in the lineup right now either, but once that pulls through and you have some of this internal growth come forward over the next season or two, I think you're really going to see a big step forward. I think organizationally they want at least a little bit of progression this year. But I also think on the flip side to all that is now that it's wide open and you're not in this North Division anymore, in this bubble, an 82-game year with a lot of the young players that we have here in Ottawa, it might be a bit of an eye-opener. And again, with the wide-open Atlantic, I think it's going to be sobering for some of these teams that had high expectations coming in from last year. So it's anybody's game. I have them on the fringe this year getting into that postseason. I do think it's a long shot, but it's entirely possible. And again, goaltending is going to be a big thing that I think Toronto can expose tonight, depending on how Anton Forsberg plays and getting onto that defense core that's a little inexperienced to a degree and probably not full of confidence. And obviously no Brady Tkachuk up front. They're right for the picking, but again, I'm not going to write off my team. This is a team that I deeply follow and admire, and I'm hoping that they can put on at least a good show tonight and maybe squeak out a win.
Yeah, so success this season kind of seems like it's all about the development of these young guys. It's safe to say that Stutzel's fully arrived in the NHL, safe to say Tkachuk has, but they've got this whole slew of like 99, 98, even 97, 2000 born guys who are right on the fringe, right? Which one of those guys are you really looking to take a big next step this season?
That's a good question. I think right now, there's a lot of players. There's Shane Pinto on that second line. He's incredibly young out of UND, and he had a really good finish. He played about 15 games, I believe, last year at the end of the season. Looked really good. But my eye right now isn't on Josh Norris or Drake Batherson. Those two guys on that top line are very good players. I think Tim Stützle probably is a guy that I'll be focusing in a little bit more on, only because he's a left winger that's been used to playing on that second line. They got him up on the first right now, replacing Brady, which potentially could be out for the next 2 weeks. But with Tim Stützle, like any other superstar player that comes into the league, they always battle this infamous sophomore jinx. And we see it all the time. And we've had these conversations over the summer about it and how, internal leadership is going to be huge with him, and the coaching and managing his minutes is going to be very important. It just seems to bite every player in their second year. And I don't know if it's a comfort thing or just a purely mental thing where you think it's going to come easy to you, but he didn't have a really good training camp. So that's been a bit of a point of contention here in Ottawa with his play. So I'm hoping the regular season we're going to really bring him out again and see how he plays in real high-stakes games. I think that'll be to his advantage, where you'll see his level jump up a little again, and hopefully some of the leadership guys will be able to kind of drag him back into that battle, and he has another strong year.
Well, Mark, it's the Sens season opener tonight. Any special plans for the Wally Mathot show today?
Well, we're going to be airing live. I appreciate you there bringing it up. We're going to be starting around 5:30 tonight, and we're going to be covering both sides, Toronto and Ottawa. And I'll probably crack a couple beers. And,
nice.
I'll see how articulate I can remain over the course of that hour and a half. I might slur on that last half hour. I'm a bit of a lush, so we'll see how it goes.
Are you just going to try and rile up Leaf fans? Is that basically the goal of tonight's broadcast?
I want everyone to know that I'm just messing around, because, again, I'm not trying to alienate any of the hockey fan base, because I get crap for that a little bit, right? Because it angers a lot of people, and you guys have a lot of very passionate fans over there. So I'm going to try to be a little more fair and balanced tonight, but I can't promise anything.
Yeah, hey, that's why we love you. You speak your mind, and you're always entertaining, Mathot. You're always entertaining guy. Really appreciate you joining the show tonight. Today, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll do this again soon.
Right on. Alf, brother, Julia, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That is Mark Mathot, former NHLer and co-host of the Wally and Mathot Show.
We said that in sync. Maybe I am Al's sister.
Maybe you are Al's sister. Did you see what was the sibling rivalry yesterday? Jay Onright tweeted at
hilarious.
Us. We should rename Leafs Lunch sibling rivalries.
We're not very high tech, though. We'll just like put a post-it note beside the nice Leafs lunch screens that are around us right now.
Yeah, we might have to do that. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, Stay or Go returns to Leafs lunch. We'll get into a little bit of what we liked and what we didn't like about last night's game, and what should stay and what should go going into tonight when the Leafs take on the Senators, a game you can watch on TSN4. I'm Mike DiStefano, Al's brother. She's Julia Tesheri. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Hi, I'm John Tavares. Clarify, John Tavares.
My name is David Kim. David Kim.
My name is Erasmus Sandin. Erasmus Sandin.
My name is Wayne Simmons. Pronounced Wayne Simmons.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. I'm Julia Tesheri from Bar Down. I've got Mike DiStefano, Al's brother from Overdrive, with me. Want to hear something funny? We were just talking about Bar Down at Leafs Media Day. Corwin, who is one of my coworkers at Bar Down, told a story. This video came out yesterday of the Leafs doing all their name, like the proper enunciations of their names. And 2 years ago at Leafs Media Day, Corwin addressed John Tavares as John Tavares. And John Tavares corrected him and said, no, it's Tavares. And then this video came out yesterday, and Corwin was like, what the heck? You just changed your mind? You embarrassed me in front of everyone.
Yeah, it's like the Parise. Like, when that change came down, when he moved from New Jersey to Minnesota, I was just like, no.
Just change your mind?
You can't do that. You can't go from being known as someone for so long to changing it, which I guess as Al's brother, I'm kind of doing somewhat of the same thing. It's not pronunciation. It's just changing up a name. But, I'm glad Wayne Simmons, though, specifically cleared that up. Wayne Simmons, pronounced Wayne Simmons. Thanks, Simmer. Thank you.
Yeah, Corn was kind of choked about that. Anyways, we're bringing back a staple feature on Leafs Lunch after every Leafs game, Stay or Go. So me and Al's brother are going to pick one thing from the game last night that we really liked, we want to see stay, and one thing that could kick rocks and we don't want to see anymore. It's got to go. And it's coming up.
Well, I suppose we should get going.
All right, everybody, stay right where you are.
Get the hell out of here.
No, you stay here.
You gotta get going, so go.
I'm sorry you came.
Time now for Stay.
Nobody got a gun to your head.
Or Go.
I'll be back.
Should I stay or should I go now?
Love that little sting there. Love
that's
the
fancy
music going into it. It is fun. I'll kick things off. So, for me, one thing that I want to see stay is Nylander's ice time. Played 18 minutes last night, 18-18, up from his 16 minutes that he was averaging last season. And that was something we talked about a lot last year, especially in the playoffs. Let's get this guy more ice time. He's one of the most dynamic players on this team. Let's get him more ice time, figure out ways to do it, and Sheldon Keefe did that. He ended up getting some PK time, only 25 seconds, but still, that upped the ice time a little bit, had a couple of shifts with Tavares and Marner, that upped his ice time, almost two extra minutes with them, and you know, like last year, he only played 12 times where he had 18 plus minutes. Getting that here in the first game, I like it, I want to see it, and I want it to stay.
Do you want me to do my stay next?
Yes.
Okay, my stay is next, and it is the PK. We talked about it a little bit before. It looked really, really good last night. Went 4-for-4. I think we said that already. And the 5-for-3, I don't think we say TSN turning point enough because it's kind of our thing, right?
Yeah.
That was a TSN turning point for me. Hall was a big factor on the PK. We've got some audio from him on that.
For sure. I think the penalty kill was a huge factor tonight, and anytime you can win or tie the special teams battle, we feel pretty confident in our ability 5-on-5. So, the block, I think I should have had that seam in the first place, so maybe it should have never happened, but always feels good to make a big play for the team.
And notice I said PK there, not special teams. We almost said special teams because they got a power play goal, but it was almost, I've called a couple things soft today, but it was barely power play goal. Yeah. It was a scramble in front. Gorgeous shot from Engvall to make some space for himself and just an absolute laser. But the power play I could still use a little more from.
Yeah, I mean, Matthews was missing too, right? He's the main element of that power play. You hope once he gets back in there, they can pick things up and get things going. For me, one thing that can go, the slow starts. Get out of here with those
seriously.
Slow starts. I mean, if it weren't for Jack Campbell last night, standing on his head those first 10 minutes until the Leafs picked things up, that could have been a 3-0 game 10 minutes in, and luckily he did stand on his head, allowed the one goal. It was a 2-on-1.
Was a nice play.
Right, just a nice play by Anderson and Druin last night. So, but the slow starts, gotta go. Let's have a good start tonight, especially in Ottawa. You know they're waiting for you. It's their home opener in front of their fans. They're going to have a packed barn for the first time. They're going to need to come out energetic tonight. So the slow start, get out of here.
Get out of here. I'm interested to see how many Leaf fans are in Ottawa tonight, too. All right, my go. I think head coach Sheldon Keefe and I share the same go. Pierre Engvall, who I want to highlight, had an amazing game last night. Just was energetic in all parts of the ice. Obviously, that goal we were just talked about, but he looked really good. The thing about him that could go, however, is going for that empty netter on the end at the end there that resulted in an icing call. Here's what head coach Sheldon Keefe had to say about that.
He had a really strong game, I thought. Skated well, scored us a big goal on the power play, gave us a lot of great shifts, had some tough assignments, playing against some of their top people and starting in our own end a lot of the time. So yeah, I thought he was really good. So good that we'll give him a pass on shooting at the empty net there.
I don't know who laughed like that, but it wasn't that funny. Well, you know it was not that funny.
You know what else can go? Those cheap laughs and when coaches and players say something that's marginally funny.
Come on, guys. Make them work for it a little bit. All right. I did a quick crash course at Al's Brothers School of Betting yesterday.
Yeah. I believe you called it degeneracy class yesterday.
Yeah, I know. That almost came out again, but I got to start being nicer.
Like tonight, we can go through what's going on tonight. Toronto favorite on the money line at -170. The over-under at 6.5 goals. So, Vegas, the sports books, expecting there to be a lot of goals tonight. And without Matt Murray in net, I think, it's a question mark in goal for Ottawa. They've got some question marks on defense and the Maple Leafs. Night two of a back-to-back, maybe they'll come out a little bit sluggish, or that's what I'm assuming the books are hoping for. And yep, that's why you see a little bit of a higher number. Let me ask you about this one, if you like it. We were successful on Nylander's shot total last night. Do you like his over or under at 3.5 shots tonight?
Not the half again. How is he going to get half a shot?
Because he gets four.
I like the over on that.
Me too, because he was outstanding last night. And you can get plus money on that. Plus 135, you can find it out there. Nylander over 3.5 shots. We got a ticket giveaway today as well, a secret special ticket giveaway. The Toronto Marlies begin their season on Saturday afternoon against the Manitoba Moose at 4 p.m. at Coca-Cola Coliseum. We're giving away a four-pack of tickets to see the game. Fifth caller in gets to see Nick Robertson and the Marlies. Call us now, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano. For Julia Tesheri, you're listening to Leafs Lunch Gameplay with Matt Cause coming up next here on TSN 1050.